Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guests this morning, Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett. We're going to talk about the Pendleton City Council and much more when we return after this.
When warmer weather hits, the City of Pendleton wants to help you get out and enjoy our beautiful parks, attend social events, and gather with family and friends. The City of Pendleton can help you get there safely, and a lot of those services are free or only cost a few dollars. Go to the City of Pendleton's website, click the Departments tab to find the link for the transit page, and go out and enjoy our community.
Pendleton Original. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KUMA Coffee Hour. I'm your host, Dan Tessman. Joining me this morning is Pendleton Mayor John Turner, City Manager Rob Corbett. And before we begin, we're going to talk about a City Council workshop that took place before the regular meeting of the City Council, that is. And gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dan. Good
morning, Dan.
So normally our work sessions are the second Tuesday of the month, but next week on the 9th, we had a lot of conflicts that counselors couldn't attend. So it was billed as a special meeting. Really, it was just a work session to kind of update ourselves on a couple of issues. One was the disposal or the disposition, I guess, of the Christian Science building that was donated to the city by the Bisnett family. And the other one was just sort of the way ahead on how we're going to build out Goad Road.
All right. And then specifically, as far as the Christian Science building, anything new? I know that this has been an ongoing project, and, you know, it's a big building as well.
Well, yeah, it has been an ongoing project for decades. The community's been excited about seeing something happen with this unique building. And then recently, the building was donated to the city by the Bisnett family. And so now the city's tasked with finding the highest and best use for that that unique location. With that comes the understanding that a lot of communication needs to happen with the city, between the city and the community, just to get feedback from the public on how they'd like to see that property develop. One of the unique things that this opportunity that may present itself because of the ownership of the building is that early in the urban renewal planning process, there was a design put together for a street plaza on Byers and Southwest First Street. So the concept was that during street events like the Farmers Market, Whiskey Fest, or any other outdoor activity, we would have an outdoor plaza area that was specifically designed for that type of an event. So that during the event, the concept was that that road would be closed, and then the plaza would move, or the event would move out into the plaza. The other idea was that there would be an at grade access to the river, so that people could better enjoy the river and the riverbank, and you know, the mission of the urban renewal is to connect the downtown with the river, or one of the goals or visions was to connect the downtown with the river better. So we the council spent several minutes conversing about how we wanted to go about communicating and getting feedback from the public. And then that information was gathered by an ad hoc committee that was appointed by the mayor, who's working with staff to be able to put together a communications plan so that ultimately we can move something forward that has the greatest support from the community.
All right. And then another item on the workshop was, again, discussing this Goad Road project. And before we get into that, I know this is radio and not television. John has a huge map laid out in front of him with all kinds of colors and details. And I can only imagine, John, that means that there's a lot to this project.
Well, there are. And so we've managed to put together about $8 million over the last couple of years, with the last $4 million coming from the legislature, as we reported last month. So we're talking about an area of about 250 acres up by the water filtration plant, just on the north side of the freeway. The connector road starts over on Highway 30 by Eastgate and goes all the way through this property, ultimately tying in with Highway 11 up in the vicinity of the Red Lion Hotel. But that's not the first part of the project that's underway. Right now, we're already doing the rough grading to put down the road beds and put in the water lines and make way for pump station construction that will start soon. But the first road project that will go in was going on Southeast 15th Street, also known as Franklin Grade. That's up there in the vicinity of the South Hill Commons apartment complex that has just been completed. And that will connect an area of about 48, 49 acres up on top that's owned by the Reese family right now. And they're working with a developer out of Spokane named Lasley. And he has a plan. It's all platted out. The first phase of construction will have 190 lots in it. So that's our first priority. We'll take the road up there so that these 190 lots can be developed. And then from there, we'll make a decision on which way to extend the road. Most likely, we'll continue out to the west to open up more of the Reese property. But if the Goad family is ready to proceed, then we might go down to Goad Road. We have a $1.5 million in federal dollars that have to be used on a specific project. And that'll probably be the last thing that we do, is actually grading out Goad Road from Highway 30 down at the bottom of Eastgate all the way up to the top of the hill by the water filtration plant. That, from an engineering perspective, is the most labor-intensive part of this whole project. And right now, our plan is to use the $1.5 million we got from the federal government for it. But this is moving forward. I would expect that you would see substantial work on construction by the end of next summer. I expect to see this road in. And you're going to see, probably for years to come, people building houses up there.
And anything to add regarding the East End Reimbursement District?
Well, we passed an ordinance already creating this reimbursement district, and we have a formula that talks about how the developers will pay the city back. So eventually, several years from now, we'll get back the vast majority of the $8 million that we're spending. Some of it in the water and sewer. This pump station not only will serve this 250 acres, but the pump station will actually have value to the whole east side of town. So we don't expect for the developer to pay back the entire amount of the pump station, but we will get the road money back, and that'll be available to the city to help support other development projects. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, I know since the last time you guys were on this program, I've talked to several people, both on this program and just in, you know, the news gathering process that I'm involved in, and so many people are excited for this. We've talked about the need for housing in Pendleton at length on this program, and I know that you know, several people are excited to see that this is coming along, and I know it's a massive project, and there's just so much stuff going on behind the scenes to make it happen, but I'm happy to hear that things are moving in a positive direction.
Yeah, building housing for all levels of income is, of course, one of the city's top four priorities. We know we've got jobs standing open because of a lack of workforce. And quite frankly, we'd like to have more kids in our school system, too, and more residents paying property tax and eating in our restaurants and shopping in our stores. So this development up in the Goad Road area is probably the most exciting housing event in Pendleton, even is more important than the 204 units that went in at Westgate with the apartment complex.
All right. Well, we're going to take our first break, come back, continue our conversation. Stay with us.
What destination is on your bucket list? The Walla Walla Regional Airport can get you there with 101 one-stop destinations through Seattle. Is a Broadway musical in New York singing out your name, or laying on the beach with a margarita in the Mexican Riviera? Check out your bucket list destinations on alaskaair.com and be sure to enter ALW to start your trip from your home airport, where you always have free parking. Book your tickets today and fly Walla Walla.
Every second of every day, an older adult in the U.S. suffers a fall. It's one of the most pressing health concerns facing older adults, and it's why at McKay Creek Estates, they're currently offering a free online fall risk assessment. In just 10 minutes, you can learn about your risk factors and ways to stay safe. The free assessment for McKay Creek Estates is available at fallriskassessment.com. That's fallriskassessment.com.
Get your home ready for spring with help from Zimmerman & Company True Value. Let's talk filters.
You should change your filter, especially in our area, at least every season change. Most of them are recommended every 3 months, but I would say every 2 months is probably more realistic for our area and our climate. Keeps the pollen and dust and all that stuff out of air conditioner and furnace systems so that you don't breathe that stuff in.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street in Pendleton for over 80 years.
Live and local, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Joining me this morning, Pendleton Mayor John Turner, City Manager Rob Corbett, and we were just talking about the workshop that preceded the regular City Council meeting. Now we'll get into the regular City Council meeting agenda and several reports under the new business section. Mayor, why don't you lead us off with what happened?
Well, we try to get a report from each one of our boards, commissions, and committees to the City Council at least once a year so that the Council is generally aware of what's going on. We've got a City Council member on just about every board, commission, and committee to keep us connected. But last night was the Arts Commission annual report. Charles DeKnight is the chair of that. Their latest big project, of course, was the Beacon of the Sentinels Park on the east side of town, kind of commemorating our veterans. That project took several years. Charles explained how their finances work. They get a small slice of the room tax money each year. And what they try to do is get a grant and then use that money that they have on hand as a match. So right now, the Arts Commission has built up a war chest of about $50,000. And what they'll do is go out for a grant and use that $50,000 to match it. So just as a rough set of numbers, the Beacon of the Sentinels Park cost somewhere in the ballpark of $170,000 to build, which only about $40,000, $50,000 of it was city money. The rest of it we raised from grants. And so Charles has got several different ideas of areas where they want to put in public art. They've identified some sites, and they just kind of work quietly behind the scene to improve our quality of life here in Pendleton.
And then, Rob, the Parks Commission annual report.
So, once again, a commission that advises the City Council on matters. They gave their annual report and really went over the successes of the parks this past year. They've been the Parks Department has received several large grants, namely, you know, over $2 million for tree maintenance and repair citywide, which is an unfunded liability that the city has had and was burdened with. And so hats off to the Parks Department for getting that grant to address that problem for the city. And then also we received some funding to rebuild the skate park. The skate park is a treasure for our community that is utilized by many people. It has been also a maintenance problem or concern because of how old it is, and it doesn't generate enough revenue to pay for itself. And so they were able to receive a grant to rebuild that and replace that. And also, as the mayor points out, we have a hockey team. Little known maybe by many, but we do have a hockey team, and they're excited to be able to have a new ice rink that will actually be larger than the one that we have. And then they also spent some time going over some of the issues that we have facing us. I mentioned earlier about unfunded liabilities. We have, you know, the pool is old. It, you know, it was built with a bond several decades ago. It is starting to show its age. And we have to, you know, our staff is starting to look at, okay, you know, how are we going to replace this or make the repairs that we know are coming, just like anything else that's old. And so spent some time talking with the City Council about reminding them or letting them know that they're focused on this, and it will be probably a bigger part of the master plan or strategic plan that they're now getting ready to rewrite, because the last one was done just about 5 years ago. So that's the report.
All right, and then Solid Waste Advisory Board annual report.
We meet once a year with Mike McHenry, who's the CEO of the Pendleton Sanitary Service, and Mike is very conscientious about keeping the city up to speed with his industry, what they're doing. The biggest issue coming on the horizon is the issue of commingled recycling, which will happen probably, it's supposed to start in July of next year. It may not start precisely on the 1st of July, but it's coming. And so we want to keep our listeners and all of our citizens apprised of what's going on. This is a state-mandated program. We don't have any choice in the matter. All the cities over 4,000 in Oregon have to have commingled recycling. So everybody will get issued another container. And once every 2 weeks, we will pick up commingled recycling. Now, there's just a number of rules that we need to educate folks on. For instance, glass won't go into this. There are certain types of plastic that you cannot put into this. And so there will be probably an extensive amount of information that will come out to keep our citizens apprised. Most of the people that we talk to are very happy to see this come. I think particularly people, say, 50 and younger, are used to the idea of recycling and embrace it. But you won't have a choice. If you choose not to recycle, you're still going to get a container and you're still going to be charged for it. We don't know how much that's going to be. Obviously, there's an expense in transporting. The biggest expense is transporting all this commingled recycling to a center that actually will process it then. But, you know, there's drivers and trucks and all containers and all kinds of things that come along with this. We think, just a very, very rough guess, is that it's going to increase people's sanitary service charge $8 to $10 a month when we start this thing. We've done a pretty good job. I think the McHenry family's done a good job of trying to keep our prices low on our monthly service. I think it's a little over $30. But because of the price of labor going up and cost of trucks and equipment that has to be replaced, there will be a 3.5% increase in your monthly sanitary service bill, your garbage bill, basically, each month. So that, well, those were the two things that came out of the report last night.
All right. And then Police Chief Chuck Byram gave the council an overview on the changes to Measure 110. And Rob, what did he explain?
So your listeners, I'm sure, are, you know, keep their ear to the news. And out of the last short session in the legislature, they read about or heard about changes to Measure 110, which was the decriminalization of narcotics. And so with the changes, there are now, or will be effective, I believe, September the 1st, there will be new changes to the laws, such that if you are caught with narcotics, you can face jail time. And along with that, one of the options will be that the person could get the option of going to treatment if they chose to. This is a change in that there was no jail time previously. It was a ticket. It's a $100 ticket, and the person had the option of going to get treatment, but they more often than not chose not to. So I'm very, you know, one of the major problems that communities all over Oregon face is the homelessness. And I have said repeatedly, my opinion is that homelessness is primarily linked to addiction and mental health. And so I'm very hopeful that these changes in the laws are going to address some of the problems that we see out in our community. Nobody wants to live like that. And so these people really are in need of help. And in my opinion, these laws will hold people accountable and give them the resources that they need to get the help that they all want or need.
All right, we're going to take another break, come back with more. Stay with us.
Attention Pendleton residents. The city of Pendleton has begun gravel pickup. City crews will be setting out yellow signs with red lettering in areas they'll be working on and will provide additional public notices as they move from one area of the town to the next. To help the city pick up as much gravel as possible, please pay attention and park your cars off the street when in designated areas. The city of Pendleton appreciates your patience and assistance during this time.
Wild Horse Resort and Casino presents Allie Colleen in Hamley Slick Fork Saloon Saturday, April 6th. Straight from Nashville, Allie is no stranger to the music industry. A notable songwriter that just released her debut album, Stones, and a top 40 hit. Performances scheduled on April 6th. Get your tickets now before it's sold out at wildhorseresort.com. Allie Colleen live April 6th at the Hamley Slick Fork Saloon, downtown Pendleton.
We bring the newsmakers to you here on the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett, my guests this morning, and just continue our conversation this morning. Mayor?
Well, one of the things from Chief Byram's report last night that I found very encouraging is over the last couple of years, we've been able to develop funding to hire four more officers for the police force, and they're all out of the academy now. Their last two are going through field training, so it'll be a few months before they'll be able to be out on their own on the streets. But the chief is establishing what I'm going to call a downtown beat to for an officer to be on patrol throughout the core of the city, basically 24 hours a day as staffing. You know, officers get sick and get hurt and so forth. So we have three beats, have had for years, and this will be a fourth beat for the Pendleton. So that's a real blessing, I think, to people who are kind of being victimized by petty crime, a lot of it being inflicted by the homeless population. Then the next item we talked about was the establishment of a local community accountability board. So the Umatilla County Juvenile Department is looking to enter into an agreement with Pendleton to establish this juvenile community accountability board with the intent of deferring low-level juvenile offenders from the criminal justice system to kind of a more community-based system. So it'd be supervised by the county, the juvenile department, and it will have a member of the Pendleton City Council to serve as the board chair. And I already have a volunteer from the council who's interested in doing that. And the whole purpose of this thing is try to hold juvenile offenders accountable and get them some proper services and keep them out of the formal juvenile criminal justice system. So our chief of police, Dale Primmer, who runs Umatilla County Corrections, are both very excited about this and eager to get it started.
And then you also met about airport software.
Right. So one of the things that we have been focused on up at the airport and the council has been focused on is managing the multitude of contracts that we have up at the airport. Previously, everything was done on a spreadsheet and in files, and it was a large undertaking, given all the other tasks and duties, managing regulations at the airport, and not really having the resources to staff up the department the way that it needed to. And so, you know, that represents thousands of dollars a year and potentially lost revenue because of a lack of maintenance on contracts. So it's been a long time goal to get the contracts up here automated. And so the staff of the airport made the presentation to the city council share that the transition was complete. Everything's automated now, or continues to become more and more automated. And hats off to the staff at the airport for putting that together.
And then explain the first reading to repeal the fire code ordinance.
Right. So one of the things that we're looking at is doing a better job with the hire of a fire marshal in addressing some of the ways that we deal with proactive planning for fires. And with the current code that we have, we're challenged sometimes to meet all elements of the current code. And so the leadership of the department came to us and asked that we change we repeal the current code, which I think will then allow us to fall back on existing state law, which makes the standard easier for us to be able to comply with, and it's more suitable for a small department like ours.
And then approving the architectural contract award for another flex hangar.
Right. Several years ago, the city of Pendleton received an EDA grant of $3 million. The first half of that we used to extend or build the UAS Industrial Park on the north end of the field. And what we're doing here is we're using the balance of the funds to build a hangar out in the UAS Industrial Park. And we have a business who is flying here that has committed to us that they would lease that hangar once it was completed.
And then approving the renovation award for the big former B-17 hangar, Mayor.
Well, we reported previously that we've received a $2.2 million grant to establish a Center for Innovation Excellence here. That's really with the UAS range, Dan. And we're lacking kind of office space to locate this thing. So we're going to award McCormick Construction a grant to renovate the downstairs portion. You know, the hangar is a large, drafty area, and really you need suitable office spaces with heating and cooling and restroom facilities and so forth. And we'll get this money back in rent. We've got about $100,000 of it is paid for by the CIE grant from the state, and the rest of it's already been budgeted. So we'll get that back to us in rent from this the people that use the Center for Innovation Excellence. And we already have a lot of people applying from all over the United States that are interested in coming here for that. So it's an exciting program that is building up the reputation of our UAS test range.
And quickly, before we wrap up this morning, an announcement regarding the bus barn.
Well, tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m., we're going to dedicate the bus barn up here by the airport. And so public is very welcome to attend that. That's a project that's been underway for a couple of years, being paid for by state money, and we're excited about it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Lots happening with the city of Pendleton, and appreciate both the mayor and city manager running through the agenda and explaining it to us. That's going to do it, and we'll be back again tomorrow. My thanks again to Mayor John Turner, City Manager Rob Corbett, and everybody have a wonderful Wednesday. Back again tomorrow.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.